Member Bible School. It was a wonderful week. It's a busy week, and I want to thank the leaders, Tracy and Gail. They did a good job organizing Bible School, and also it takes a whole team of people. We're glad for those teams working together to be able to reach out. There are many kids from our community that came to Bible School. I was a crew leader, so I sat with some second grade boys, and I got to know them, and I really felt sad when it was over that they were leaving, because I was feeling that relationship and enjoying to get to know them. How do you describe Bible School? Excitement. How can you not get excited when you see a stage like this when you're a kid and you just feel the energy of it all? Enthusiasm. The singing, the drama, the fun that goes on is wonderful. Lots of energy. Energy everywhere. Kids coming and excited about the week and what's going on. But also it creates memories. Memories that makes a difference. Also, it's spiritually impactful. We are bringing in children from the outside that hear the message of the gospel and hear the good news of Christ, and they have that memory of doing that. The theme is Jesus Rescues. So I want to pick up that theme and present it as a sermon today. There are times when kids or adults feel lonely, lost, left out. We feel disconnected from the people around us, and we want to have a connection. We want to have a community to be a part of. We want to have a connection with God to be able to have faith, be able to have something meaningful in our life. God knows our hearts. He understands our hurts. And when we need him, he's there. The theme of Bible School, imagine an island and you were shipwrecked and you need to be rescued. And of course, that rescue comes from someone from the outside reaching out to you. It's a metaphor of our lives at that times that we need some God, some help that goes on in our lives. When you are lonely, when you worry, if you struggle, when you do wrong, when you're powerless, God rescues you. These are the themes of the days that went on. When we hear the word rescue, it conjures lots of images of dramatic events. I remember being a fisherman that I went out to one of my favorite lakes, Lake Cochrane. It's over by Bradley, South Dakota. And I was out there by myself in the boat. When I started out, it was a nice day, kind of calm. And you know what? What happens in South Dakota is windstorm, you know? I've lived here long enough. I get afraid of windstorms. This terrific windstorm started coming from the west. Well, the boat launch was on the west, and I was literally blown off the lake. Boom, I went to the east side, and I could not get back. I did not want to even try because I felt it was dangerous enough to try to go back. So I needed some rescue. I needed some help. And there I was, not knowing what to do and wondering, how am I going to get out of this dilemma? First of all, I'm not going to go back across those waves. They're too big, and it was too dangerous. Here comes a couple of guys that lived on the lake, and they said, we're here to help you. We want to help you. And they said, well, we got a tractor. We'll go get your truck. We'll get your trailer off the truck. And then they backed it into the water, loaded up my boat, put it on my truck, and off I went. So I needed some help. At that particular time, I was rescued. I could have been there a very long time, but I had some help. And this is the theme of Bible School. At times, we need help. We need God's help to provide for us at times in our lives. You look at the pictures in the screen, and they remind us of dramatic events that happen and that we need rescue. There's a fireman that's taking children out of a burning building, and that provides help. There's a helicopter, and we see it go over our community from the hospital. It goes out and finds people or picks people up that are in bad situations or in a health crisis, and we need rescue. We need someone to help us in these situations. We see this boat going down this flooded zone, and they're picking up people that are stranded. So in our lives, we need the idea of being rescued. But we also see that in our faith, we need to be rescued as well. We need someone to help us with our sin problem, and of course we know that's Jesus. Jesus is going to rescue us as we need it. Jesus gave his life to rescue people. If we see a fireman, they're willing to risk their life to help someone else. Jesus not only was willing, he did give his life for us. And that's the good news of the message of the Bible. It says in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. God will take away our sin and forgive us and give us peace of mind. There's something about the human experience that we want it to be authentic and real. We want to be able to have and live life to the fullest. But there are people out there that think the way you do that is to become a rugged individual, to be able to be totally reliant on yourself, no one else. It's an image that is out there. In this mentality, no one else needs to help you. You pull up your bootstraps, you're strong, you don't need anyone else to be able to do that. It is something that we know is happening in our culture, secular culture that says God is not necessary in the equation of things. I'm on my own. I need to be the person that makes it or doesn't make it. The problem is when you bring this mentality into spirituality, you say you need no God either, and that you are going to make it on your own, even without a God, even without any other people in your life. Yet this independent spirit breaks down, because at times all of us need some sense of rescue. We need somebody to help us with our dilemmas of our life, that we are not alone, that we are dependent on others. If we reject God and eliminate him, we become spiritually bankrupt. We are created to have a spiritual relationship with God. It says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it's impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who seek him. If we take a look at this verse and dig into it a little bit, we see this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we're going to draw near to God, it says in the scripture, we need to believe that he exists. Many people say there is no God. We don't believe that he exists because they don't have that faith the Bible talks about. And we need that faith to make a difference in our lives. Our first teaching is this. When a believer stands firm, God becomes the advocate. When a believer stands firm, God becomes the advocate. Daniel was a young man. He was captive in Babylon. His life, as he grew up, he was in a foreign land. He was far away from his people and from Jerusalem, the center of his life and the center of his worship. He missed that, but yet he continued to worship God. He did not leave his faith, even though he was not in his homeland. He resolved that he was going to believe and worship the true God. When his faith was tested, he stood up. It says in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. He would be true to his faith. He made up his mind he was going to have convictions and determination and not let other people influence what he believed and what he stood for. He stood firm. He did not compromise. There was a law that was written that no one could pray to other gods except the emperor, the king. That put him in a conflict because he knew he wanted to pray to his God. The scripture records what his response was in Daniel 6:10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had the windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees and three times a day he prayed and gave thanks before God as he had done previously. The law said you cannot pray to another God. He opened his windows so everyone would hear. He knew that there was an opportunity for him to be able to have that faith to exercise his faith.
He was able to do that.
Why? Why was he so determined? Because he wanted to be loyal to his God, to stand up for his faith. What did he get for his loyalty? He was going to be thrown into the den of lions. That was his crime. It was a live or die, sink or swim situation. The lions were hungry. They were going to attack. They were going to eat. Everyone had known what was going to happen in this dilemma or this situation. Daniel did not have fear. He trusted in God. He knew there would be a rescue, that he had faith in God that he would do that. He was lowered into the den. And King Darius said this, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." So we see this theme in the scripture, God rescues. Even the king wanted to believe that there was a true God. Even the king wanted to believe that Daniel would survive and be rescued. This is faith. In the middle of that darkness, there was a light. It was God's light that came into the situation. An angel showed up. It shut the mouths of the lions. And you know, the next day the king came and he yelled down and said, "Are you there? Are you there?" And Daniel said, "God had delivered me." And what happened to the king as he declared to the people this decree? The people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. When a believer stands firm, God becomes the advocate. If we stand firm like Daniel, God will be there when we need to have help. It says in Daniel 6:27, "He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who saved Daniel from the power of the lions." Jesus rescues. God rescues is the theme of this scripture. Our next teaching point is this. Even when we run away, God does not abandon us. Even when we run away from him, he's there for us. He will rescue us even when we rebel and turn away from God. We see this story in the Bible, the story of Jonah. God wanted to show compassion to the people of Nineveh. He wanted to have them the opportunity to turn from the evil, to hear the message of God and peace. Out of all the people, God chose Jonah. He said he was supposed to go and tell the message to the people of Nineveh for them to repent and perish. What did Jonah do? He ran the other way. He thought he could get far away from God. He could get farther and farther away from God, and then God would forget about him. Is that even possible? But he thought so. And he found himself on a boat. He was sleeping in the bottom of the boat, and here came a tremendous storm. Tremendous storm. All the men on the boat were afraid. The captain and the sailors were scrambling to try to survive the storm. The captain went down in the bottom of the ship, and he said, "Hey, don't you know God? We need your help," to Jonah. He wanted Jonah to help him, because they knew that Jonah knew God. Jonah said, "It's my fault. I'm running from God. I'm running away. Throw me over the side of the boat." How many people would say that? If I'm on a boat and it's stormy, and I've been on a boat when it's rocky, I'm not going in the water. I'm not that bold and that good a swimmer. He knew for sure he probably wasn't going to make it. But he was willing to do the right thing, even though he had done the wrong thing. Throw me over. Throw me over. The truth is, we can't run from God. Where can you hide when you run from God? If you do run, you run to the strangest places. people that are running away. He ends up on a boat in the middle of an ocean in the strangest place. But this is true of many people. They find themselves in a place with some people doing things that they don't want to do, with people they don't want to be with, but they're ending up doing that because they're running from God. It's a true, real thing that people have in their life. When you run, your life unravels. It falls apart. You self-destruct. You do things that you regret. You have problems that you can't conquer. You are helpless. You will need a God to rescue you from that despair and that struggle. Running causes you to hurt people around you. All the people around you, your friends, your family, those that love you, you're hurting because you're running from God. This is a real experience for many people, yet they don't know the reason that they're having so many problems. They don't attribute it to faith and the lack of God in their life. They just say they have bad luck. Times are tough. Things are difficult. The reality is it's a spiritual problem. You're running from God. God hurled the wind. The ship was ready to sink. Jonah was sound asleep. He knew God. He wasn't afraid. They said, "Throw me over." And there was a rescue. Here comes this big fish that ate him up. The picture is just amazing to see how big the fish is and how small the guy is. That's what the walleye looks like when it sees the bait come down. It's ready to grab it. Here's something to eat. Karan. That's what I like to do, catch a walleye. That's fun. So there it is. Jonah's in the fish. 3 days. 3 days. Got a little bit of time to think about your life when you're in the middle of a fish. You can't run anymore. You're stuck. It's all coming right to your front of yourself in your life. Everything that you've done, everything that you regret is right there. He's got nothing to do but to think about all those things that were going on in his life. They were the 3 worst days of his life, but also they were the 3 best days of his life because his life changed. He got to that point, and you will get to that point. Everyone will get to that point where you will not be able to turn your life around anymore. You will need rescue from God. You will need God's help. And this is the point he was at. And he cried out and he prayed and said, "God, help me." God heard his cry. He survived the fish. He lived again. He went to preach. His message was different. His message was powerful. It says in Jonah 2:1, "I cried out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me." Dean Corter says this, "He's a real man trapped by real circumstances. He has only 2 choices, prayer or despair. Jonah can give up or he can look up. Too many people are trapped in their despair because they reject the help that God offers." Give up or look up. Many times we're in that situation, we have 2 choices, give up or look up. There are people that give up. We've heard the stories just recently, people that have given up. They're not living anymore. They've given up. They've given up that fight. They're in the belly of the whale, and they didn't cry out to God and ask for help. And that's what happened. Jonah was repentant. He sees the light. He turns back to the right path. He puts God back into the center of his life. He puts God's plan above his plan and says, "I'll go, Lord. I'll go." Even when you run, God doesn't abandon you. He's there. He's going to help you. Our 3rd teaching is this. When we do wrong, Jesus rescues us with his forgiveness. The 3rd day of Bible school, the theme was, when we do wrong, Jesus rescues us. It's a powerful lesson that went on. I want to focus a little bit on the teaching of that 4th day. God loves us so much, he wants to be there for us, to rescue us during our wrongdoings, to rescue us from our sin. Jesus died in agony. To rescue us, he carried a wooden cross. To rescue us, he let his hands and feet be nailed to a cross. To rescue us, he died to forgive sinners. During VBS, the kids were asked a question. Would you take the punishment for someone else? If someone else said a lie, would you say, I did it? If someone had a test that they cheated on and it wasn't you, would you take the blame for them? If you broke a dish at home, would you take the blame for that? This is a question the kids were asked. It's a powerful question. And the kids were asked that, and they said, well, I don't think I would. I know I wouldn't. I don't want to take the blame for somebody else. Sometimes we don't even want to take the blame for ourselves. That's our human nature. We want to hide it, cover it up, those kind of things. So this is what happened. Well, maybe, the kid said, I'll take the blame for a family member, a brother or a sister, somebody. But I don't think I'd want to take the blame for a complete stranger. Would they even be appreciative of that or thankful? It says in Isaiah 64, 5 and 6, we are constant sinners. How can people like us be saved? We are all afflicted and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deed, they are nothing but filthy rags. In our class, when our teacher was teaching, there was a lot of filthy rags that were brought out. They looked like the kind of stuff that's in my garage, you know, filthy rags that I use to clean things with. And so they were to take these rags and put them on the cross. There was a cross in the room. So one after another, the kids put the rags on the cross to remind them that we have this baggage that we have in our lives, that we cannot get rid of it. We need to be rescued from that, as the scripture says. The filthy rags represent our sins, the things that we do wrong, the things that we're trying to cover up and hide. We try to make up for it. We do our best. We try to do good deeds, but we can't escape the fact that there's a part of us that's plain filthy in our lives. We can't clean it up. We can't change it. We can't reverse it. No matter how hard we try to get rid of our sins, we cannot do it. We cannot undo them. We cannot make up for it. We can't get it clean enough. So we need to be rescued. We need God's help to clean the mess up as we go through this. John 16, 33. Here on earth, you have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world, is what Jesus said. Jesus rescues. Even when we do wrong, he rescues. There was once a flood, and everyone had reached safely except one man. And he was determined to stay where he wanted to stay, in his house. He climbed on the top of his house, and water was coming higher and higher and higher. And he knew he was not worried about it, but he knew that he was in trouble. A helicopter flew over, and they shouted out to him and said, here's a rope for you to climb. But the man said this, it's all right, the Lord will save me. The helicopter flew away. The water continued to rise, and a boat came along the way. And the man shouted out, hey, we'll help you. And the guy said, no way, the Lord will come and save me. And once again, the boat sped away. There was another opportunity for him to be saved. A helicopter came and was going to take him away, the same helicopter that came before. The water was getting higher and higher and higher. And that guy said, no, the Lord will save me. And you know what? He didn't make it. He drowned. And then he went to St. Peter, and he was confused. And St. Peter was confused. And he said, Peter, I've lived the life of faith, the man said. Why did the Lord not rescue me? And Peter said this, for pity's sake, he sent you two helicopters and a boat. You had a rescue all along, and you rejected it. And that's a lot like a lot of people. They don't see that God is there to help, that God is there to rescue and help you in your dilemma, because they're not looking up. We either can have despair or we can look up. We need God's help. We look up. So the theme of Bible school was the shipwreck. If you're out on an island by yourself, the kids were asked, what would that be like? And they said, it would be lonely. It would be worrisome. It would be fearful. It would be all those things that go on. And you'd be waiting for someone to help you. That's what we hope, is that when our life becomes a shipwreck, that we'll have help. Someone will come and reach out to us. God will come and reach out to us. He's given us, God, Jesus has given us an amazing opportunity for love and forgiveness. Some people are looking in the wrong direction. They're running away from God. They know the right way, they're going to go the wrong way because they rebel against God. But God loves those people. He wants to reach out and give them a lifeline, bring them back into the kingdom of God. We are people of faith. We look up. We believe that God is going to help us no matter the situation. Even when there's agony and trouble and struggles, even when there's injury and loss of life, we are not alone. God helps us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it great to see the decorations that are here to remind us of Bible school? I'd have to say, at the end of the week, I was tired, just like everybody else. And that's the feeling you have, is like, wow, this is a busy week. You feel like you're ready to lay down and take a nap. But you know, it's worth it. It's worth it to see all of these children come here and to see the wonderful opportunity that we have as a church. To see them stand up here and sing, to be able to enjoy the experience of reaching out and see the opportunity. So it comes to a decision that we all have to make. And Paul said it in Romans 14:8. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So if we live or if we die, we are the Lord's. Daniel made that decision. He said, if I live or die, I die for the Lord. When he was lowered into the lion's den, he did not know the outcome of that situation. He did not know that he would be rescued. He did not know that God would send an angel. Before that, he knew that he was going to live or die. He was going to die a man of faith. And that God would bless that. So that's what dilemma that Paul was in at one point in his life. He was persecuted. He was struggling. He had lots of obstacles and challenges in his life. And he came to the conclusion, if I live or die, I am the Lord's. What faith that is. So we're thankful for that. So I have to wait a whole nother year for Bible school, but we look forward to it. Thank you so much for those that are involved, all the people that were helping. It was a wonderful joint effort to make it all happen. So we're going to close with a hymn, Every Giant Will Fall. And during that song, we'll be doing the benevolent offering. Last week, we had an offering for our VBS scholarships. This week, we'll do a benevolence offering. So please remain seated. You'll be singing, and you'll be able to take the offering. So we'll say a prayer, and then we'll come and have our team sing. Lord, we thank you for our service, for a chance to gather as a church, for Bible school, for the lives that were changed, for the being faithful to the message of the gospel, for the difference it makes, that many from our community heard about Jesus and how he can turn around our wrongdoing and give us hope. Lord, we pray and thank you for this church and for our service today. In Jesus' name, amen.